800-789-0089.
Well, we have conferences throughout the year around the country, and I would love to see you make plans to come. It's really a wonderful time to spend, even with your family and friends. It's just plain fun. So make plans to join us. I would love to see you there.
Don't miss your chance to see Joyce live in Grand Rapids, Michigan, June 4th through the 6th at Resurrection Life Church. All sessions are free. For more information, call toll-free 1-866-SEE-JOYCE or visit us online at joycemeyer.org.
Thanks again for listening today. And to order today's offer, just head to our website or call. Until next time, remember, glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This is the key to enjoying everyday life.
WCNO's broadcast day is underwritten by Solis Roofing Contractors, Incorporated. Solis Roofing Contractors is a specialist in the repair, installation, or replacement of metal roofing, asphalt shingles, flat foam, or single-ply roofing. Solis Roofing Contractors, Incorporated, licensed and insured, serving the Treasure Coast and South Florida since 1994 in commercial and residential roofing services. Located in Port St. Lucie, Solis Roofing Contractors is available at 772-336-1633.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
With all my heart. Part 3 of Breaking Bondage. The first, we have seven characteristics, or seven, let me say, crisis points that identify God breaking bondage, God destroying bondage, and setting you totally free into destiny. Our story has to do with Israel and their 430 years in bondage to slavery. Number one was that there was a battle over their identity, okay? Battle, a fight over their identity. No matter how weak you may feel sometimes, or disjointed, odd, you know, left out, don't allow any of these things to identify you. Amen. We, in our class, we took a snapshot of one of our brothers up here flexing his muscles. And that's the type of snapshot we have to have in our spirit of who we are, no matter what we go through. See, to many of us, perhaps not all, but to many of us, it is not only given in our behalf to believe on Jesus, but it is also given to us to suffer for his name's sake. And it's a glorious thing. It's not something to fear or dread if you understand it. You see, if we don't understand it, then we'll dread it. We'll run from it. We'll complain to God about it. But in actuality, the word says Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. There's something of great value in suffering. In suffering, we must not only know how, we must not only learn how to, but we must know to humble ourselves. It's not a time to be lifted up and get proud. When God allows you to go through some things, it's not a time to resist God and become angry with God and feel like you've lost out with something because you're humbling yourself. No, if you understand the ways of God, then in suffering, you know to humble yourself because God has something there for you. Amen. There's a greater dimension of anointing that awaits you through your suffering. See, your suffering is not just for naught. You know, you're just going through because the devil don't like you. No, if God has allowed you to suffer some things, there's a purpose behind it. And it always is to benefit you. It's when we find ourselves fighting in the midst of suffering that our natural man limits us and blocks us from moving forward. When you learn how to humble yourself, and when you enter into a time or season of suffering, right away, I'll be honest with you, you know, you are not ready to humble yourself because it's a new territory to you. You know, you've kind of, in a sense, prided yourself in the dimension that you were in. You were comfortable in it. You were strong in it. You understood it. You were familiar with it. And now God thrusts you into another realm where now all that you were back then, God says, now I'm taking you somewhere else now. Now, in order to understand it and be able to embrace it, you have to humble yourself. Otherwise, you'll miss it. And you will gravitate back to, you'll try to go back to the old wine skin and into the old path again, and you'll stay there. But when you learn how to humble yourself, you'll find out that in this new dimension, God has a fresh anointing. There's another dimension of anointing. It will initially feel like you are missing something, and you are, because you're missing some of you. Yeah, hello? Did you hear that? You will feel like you're missing something from the old dimension. You are, because some of you died. See, in order to transition, see, the only way out of this world, this reality, is only, unless God translates you, you have to die. There's no other way. You know, you can be on life support, God forbid, but, you know, you ain't going nowhere until you pass through that. Well, in the spirit dimension that you're in, you may be frustrated with it. You may, you know, not like it anymore. You know, after a while, you're supposed to get uncomfortable because you're supposed to grow. But the only way to really get out of that is to die. Help me, Jesus. I lost the whole middle section here. Is to die to yourself. So this is why they're suffering. The psalmist said, it is good that I have been afflicted. Now hold everything back up. Hold everything. Who said that? It's in Psalms. It is good that I have been afflicted that I might learn your statutes. He said, see, he understood. He understood what this was about. It's not just about, you know, riding high. No, we will be proud. And God has to resist the proud. But he constantly gives grace to the humble. Amen. It doesn't mean that we're broken all up and defeated. I don't mean that. And discouraged. I don't mean that either. It means that you have humbled your soul. He that seeks to save his life, his soul life, shall lose it. But he that loses it for my name's sake, the same shall find it, but he'll find it in a whole nother dimension of strength, of wisdom, of revelation, of closeness to God. So see, what you're feeling or sensing, you left a little piece of you back there in that other dimension. In other words, you had to die some more to you in order to enter in to where you are now. If you understand that, there's no stopping you. Amen? There's no stopping you. The enemy can't stop you. He can try, but he can't do it. It's only when there's pride or lifting up of self. So the battle initially is over identity. That was the first part. Number two, God's people had to stand in a place of faith. The identity battle was over slavery versus the firstborn. God called them the firstborn. Pharaoh said, no, they're my slaves. And he tried to bring that hard on them by putting more and more work on them so that they wouldn't pay any attention to what he called lies, vain words. But God said, no, these are my firstborn, and firstborn cannot be slaves. So there's the battle of identity first. Two, there was God's people had to stand in a place of faith. The night that they left Egypt, before the death angel came through Egypt, they were told to have their belts on, their sandals on their feet, their staff in their hand, to roast the lamb, to eat it as a family, and be ready to leave quickly. In other words, before God did that, they had to be ready. You heard me say the other day that divine initiative has to meet human preparedness. There's so much that God desires to do, but are you prepared? And I don't mean, you know, you trying to do it yourself, but are you prepared? Are you prepared for a move of God? Are you prepared, really prepared for breakthrough? Is your spirit positioned properly for a tremendous breakthrough? Amen. Are you hearing? Are you ready, really, to break through into new dimensions? Have you prepared yourself spiritually? Are you prepared physically? How about mentally? You know, if God were to just allow a shower of blessing to come upon you, could you handle it? Can you stand really right now to be blessed? Or would you squander it? Or are you in that position where you would begin to forsake the things of God for the blessing? See, prosperity destroys. Proverbs says prosperity will destroy a fool. That's why when you see people sometimes rebel against God and they start to prosper, read the Bible. Prosperity will destroy them. That's not blessing. That's not God honoring them. That's God saying it's going to destroy you ultimately because you're acting in a very foolish manner. So these things we need to examine and, you know, understand the divine initiative. God is an initiator. There's a lot that he desires to bring in from heaven into the earth realm through our lives. But that divine initiation has to meet human preparation. Okay, preparation. It has to, you know, the people wanted a king. God didn't want them to have a king. He said, I'm your king. But they chided and chided. God said, all right, I'm going to give you a king, but you're going to regret it. The first one that was chosen was Saul. And you see what Saul did and how Saul was not prepared to contain all that God wanted to do. He messed up many, many times with God. Let me ask you a question. Are you in covenant? It's strange. I listen to a lot of the church world today, and very little sounds like covenant. And surprisingly, a lot of it sounds like lawlessness. Let me tell you how important covenant is. When the Israelites went into Canaan and they were conquering the different nations, there were a group that came to them, the Gibeonites. And the Gibeonites were slick. They got old wineskins. They put on old, you know, raggedy stuff and put raggedy saddles on their horses to make it look like they had come from a long way. See, they were the next ones on the list. Israel was about to take out. They were right next door. They were the neighbors next door. But they did all that to make them think that they'd come a long way. So they came, and this is the first time we see where Joshua didn't inquire of the Lord. Read it. He didn't inquire of the Lord, but he made a covenant with them. They said, we've come from a far country, and, you know, we want to be your servants and all of this. And so they made a covenant with them. And not long after that, they found out they were right next door. They were the next ones. But they'd made a covenant, so they couldn't do them any harm. Amen. But what they did do, they made them bearers of water and hewers of wood. These were the men of war. But see, the bearers of water and the hewers of wood, they were duties that were relegated to the women. So now you have all these huge soldiers, you know, carrying the water and the wood. So they made them that. Even though they got away with, you know, getting them into covenant, they still had a... Now imagine that. Here's your son. You're trying to raise up to be a soldier. And you're doing the ladies' work, you know, carrying the laundry and, you know, whatever the ladies' work was back then versus the soldier work. But they made a covenant, so they couldn't harm them. They could not harm them. Now, later on, what happened, the Gibeonites were still among Israel when David became king, and they were made priests. Saul, before David was king, he went in and he killed. He slew all the Gibeonites, slew them all. Saul did, even though they were in covenant. And because of that slaying, famine hit the land. God put a famine on the land. But here's the real clincher. Because of that breaking of covenant that Saul did, all of his sons were killed. All of them. Except for the one Mephibosheth whom David cut covenant with Jonathan. He was the only one. All his sons were good. My point is the significance of covenant. You see, in the day in which we live, we have truce breakers. You know, we have people that don't honor their word, that don't honor relationship, that don't honor. And we're going to see God deal with those things on a whole nother level, because he's a God of covenant. And it's very important. So if we're going to win these battles and we're going to stand in faith and we're going to have the proper identity, we must be a people that are people of covenant.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in Transformation Part 3, Breaking the Bondage. Whatever circumstances are trying to dictate to you, they are not who you are. Embrace your correct identity. If you do, it will disconnect you from the system of the world and connect you to the Zoe life. Stop thinking down. Kill the slave mentality. Change your mind. You are a child of the promise. Start your tomorrow with your faith being stirred up. It is here, it is now, and it is you. In order to see the ordinary as extraordinary, you must look beyond the natural to hear from another realm. God needs people in his kingdom who will make the choice not to identify with the ways of the world because they seem profitable.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll-free